Good morning, everyone. I was just outside checking on the C4K groups as they settled in. It's quite strange to hear that beautiful praise of singing God's praise coming out of the school hall in the middle of the school. It's, you know, when the kids are here, you don't hear those sort of noises coming out of here. Now, I just remind how great a job our musicians do of serving us in praising God, don't they? Yes, absolutely. An awesome job there, dedication to that. Exciting week this week. A friend of mine, Cam, who's a Vietnamese pastor, is starting a new church over Fairfield Way. He's listed in our prayer points. And Hornsby Community Church is meeting, has moved from Hornsby Girls, and they're meeting for the first time in Event Cinemas in Westfields. I just thought, how good is it that Christians now are meeting just in these buildings all around the place? And just bringing God's presence into another community, into another place. So there are Christians praising God in Westfield this morning. Isn't that awesome? So pray for them. Pray for Ian Miller, their pastor, as they seek to do that and seek to pay for it. Much more expensive way to do things. But, you know, it's great to have that presence in the community. And it's a real blessing for us to be here, isn't it? There's a sermon outline in your newsletters on in the middle of it. If you want to open up to that, have your Bibles open in Matthew 8. And let's begin in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we, as we gather together, your Spirit leads us and speaks to us, and that we have your Word to look upon. And we pray, Lord, that you just encourage us as we look at this now. Encourage us to live for you and to serve you and one another. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you might be surprised to know that the heaviest weight ever lifted by the human tongue is 12.5 kilograms. That's Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. 12.5 kilograms someone lifted. I won't show you a picture of it because it's disgusting. Do you believe that? The longest ever human fingernails recorded in length was 9.85 meters. That's longer than mine at the moment. I haven't cut them for a week. Do you believe that? Probably. Do you know that the fastest 100 meter time on a skateboard by a dog is 19.6 seconds. Do you believe that? Do you believe all those statements that I've just made? I think some of you might not believe, so I want to show you. I want to show you that it's true that a dog can skateboard in 19.6 seconds, 100 metres. There he is. The boxer, his name is Tillman. He's quite famous. And he can do 100 metres on a skateboard faster than most of the people in this room, I'm guessing. Is that right? I can't do 19.6 minutes in 100 metres on a skateboard. Sometimes when you hear things, you've got to see it to believe it. You just can't possibly believe that a dog can not only skateboard, but pick up his board and walk with it and drag it to another place. It's impossible, isn't it? But there it is. Sometimes we need to see it to know that it's true. Jesus talks a lot in Matthew chapter 8 and 9 about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to honour him and to look for his kingdom. And in these chapters, Jesus starts to make more audacious claims. He claims that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. In fact, he claims that he is God himself. And what he realizes is this people he's speaking to, it's not enough for them to just hear that. They need to be able to understand by seeing it. And so what we're doing today is looking at three passages. Rather than look at three individual passages, we're looking at three events that happened all together. Because there's a pattern here. What Matthew has done is put three events together to show us something. To show us that Jesus wants to show us. Jesus wants us to see what he's talking about. Jesus wants us to see his power and his authority. So that's the word I really want us to think about. See, not see as in the Sea of Galilee, well, that's in the first one, but see as in what we are seeing. And so let's look at the first event, which is the event of Jesus in the boat with his disciples crossing the lake, and a huge storm comes up and Jesus is asleep. The waves are sweeping over the boat and the disciples are afraid for their life. It's that big a squall that has come up. They say to Jesus, "Wake up, what are you doing? You're sleeping, it's a big storm, we're all going to die. What are you doing?" Jesus wakes up with a few words, he calms the storm, and it's over. He just speaks, and they stop. The disciples say, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Obey him. The first thing we learn from a story like this is that Jesus is powerful over nature. Here's his nature. Jesus stands up and commands it. And Jesus is powerful over it. But there's much more to that story than this, than just knowing that Jesus has power over nature. Jesus wants us to see his power over nature. Jesus could have made that storm never come up, couldn't he? Jesus could have got that boat through the storm. But he doesn't. He allows his storm to come up, and he stands up and he speaks and it stops. Why? So we could see his authority. Why let the storm come up at all? So he could stand and command it and show the disciples that he has power and authority over nature. Not only that, let's look a bit deeper into that. What does he say to them? Why are you afraid? You of little faith, why are you afraid? He doesn't just want to show them that he's powerful over nature, that he has the authority over nature. He wants to say to them, I have the authority over your fear. Why are you afraid? I have authority over all the things that you fear, and I will show you. So the first thing this story shows is not just that Jesus has power over nature, but that he has power over all the things that we fear. What is it that you are afraid of? What are the things in life that you fear? Jesus wants to show you in this story that he has power and authority over that. The second event that we see there is the story of the demons and the pigs. It's well known, two demon-possessed men and 2,000 pigs. Jesus gets off the boat, he meets two demon-possessed men that everyone's afraid of, and he goes out to meet them and he throws the demons into the pigs. They throw themselves over the cliff and die. What does that story teach us? Well, very simply, it teaches us that Jesus has power over Satan, over the supernatural, over demons. See, there's two stories. So Jesus has power over the storm, over nature. Jesus has power over Satan. But it's much more than that. Jesus, in this story, wants to show us that he has power over Satan. Now, a question often asked in this is, why does Jesus throw the demons into the pigs and then they throw themselves off the cliff? Why doesn't he just destroy the demons? It's so we could see. Just like the storm. Why does he bring the storm up? So we can see his power. Why does he put the demons into the pigs? So we can see. So it's not just Jesus walking up to two angry men going, cast the demons out, be gone, and all of a sudden they're right. Anyone could have said, well, that's just a trick. You line that up beforehand. How do we know you really cast those demons out? How do we know there were really 2,000 demons in that man? How do we know? Because we saw them go into 2,000 pigs. Jesus didn't have to do that. He did it to show us. To show us he has the power over demons. To show us, look, there are the demons, there are the pigs, there they go. I did that. He shows us that he has authority. And it's interesting the response that he gets from the people in that area. Am I on the right slide? I'm not on the right slide. I'll go to the next one. The demons, when they see Jesus, they say, what do you want with us, Son of God? Do you remember what the disciples said to Jesus in the boat? They said, who is this man? Even the wind and waves obey him. Who is he? And he gets to the Gennesaret, Gerasenes, the region of the Gerasenes, and the demons say to him, what do you want with us, Son of God? They know exactly who he is. They know exactly who he is. They know, but that doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter how much you know about Jesus. It doesn't matter how much you might believe that he existed or believe that God is true. See what the people said to Jesus after he cast these demons out. Just on the bottom there. When they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. The people of that region saw what Jesus did. They saw his power and his authority over the demons, and they asked him to leave. And that can be anyone's response, to know Jesus, to know him, all about him, and to ask him to leave. What does Jesus want us to see in this passage? Not just to see his power and authority over Satan, but to see that what he calls us to is obedience of the heart, not of the head. It's no good just to know it all. If we are not prepared to follow Jesus and welcome his authority into our life, then it makes no difference how much we know him. If we just know in our head but not in our heart, it makes no difference to our salvation. Jesus wants us to see his power, but he also wants that power to be active in our life. So he's asking not for authority over your mind, but over your heart, over your desires, over your purpose in life, over all that you are. Do you follow Jesus with your heart? Do you know his will for you? Or are you sidetracked by your own desires and your own will for your own life? The question is Jesus, does Jesus have authority over your heart? The final chapter 9, the paralytic we see Jesus heal. Also the story, similar story, is probably most likely the same story of the paralytic that was lowered through the roof in Mark's Gospel, lowered through the roof and healed in the same way. But here is a story in Matthew. Jesus has already shown his power over nature. He's shown his power over Satan. And now the healing of the paralytic, he shows his power over sickness, doesn't he? Shows power over nature, over demons, over sickness. But it's much more than that. Some men bring this man to Jesus. He's paralyzed. But Jesus doesn't heal him from his paralysis straight away. What does he say to him? This man comes paralyzed and he says to him, "Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." Jesus forgives him and people say straight away he's blaspheming. Now why is that blasphemy? Because to say your sins are forgiven means you're saying to someone, "I have the power, I have the authority to forgive your sins." And the only person that can forgive sins, that can take away your sin, is God himself. So by saying your sins are forgiven, Jesus is saying, "I have the power and authority of God. I stand here with God's authority right now to forgive your sins." This is Jesus saying, "I am God. I have the power of God. I have the authority of God. On earth, I am God." This is a big claim. This is why he's called a blasphemer. And the thing is that either he is a blasphemer or he is who he says he is. Jesus can't just be some well-meaning prophet or miracle worker because he's claiming to be God. So either he is or he isn't. He can't be somewhere in between. Why does Jesus not heal him from his paralysis? He wanted people to focus on the sin. What's easier, he says to them, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? Now what is easier to say? It is easier to say to someone your sins are forgiven because you can't see that, can you? If someone walks up to you and says your sins are forgiven, how do you know that? You can't see it. You can't see it like demons going into pigs. You can't see it like a storm suddenly calming a word. How do you see sins forgiven? You can't. You can't see it with your eyes. So what Jesus does, he said to them, "But so that you may know, I have the authority to forgive sins, so that you can see my power, so you can see my authority, I will do this. Get up and walk." And he gets up and he walks. Now that's not showing his sins are forgiven, that's just showing Jesus has the power to heal. In the next chapter, we see Jesus has the power, the authority to raise the dead. What Jesus is saying to these people and to us is that you see my authority over the storms, over the storm on the sea, you see my authority over the demons, you see my authority over sickness, and I'm telling you, I have the authority to forgive sins. No, either it's all made up or I'm telling the complete truth. Either I'm working for Satan and casting out demons, or I actually have the power and the authority to forgive sins. This is all about showing us his power and authority so that we might believe that authority that he has to forgive sins. And either it is all a lie or it is all true. It's very hard to find middle ground in these events. How can he say that he's the Son of God yet still be a good person if he's not actually the Son of God? If he's just a good person, if he's just a miracle worker, if he's just a historical figure, if he's just a prophet, how could he forgive sin? if he's lying there, he's lying to us in everything. He's not lying. That means it's all true. And the man who claims to be God is God. And we can see it in the things that he does. We can see it in the authority that he shows us. Why does Jesus focus this last one? What's it all about? It's all about showing his power and authority, but he really wants us to believe that last thing. I have the authority to forgive sin. Because, you know, our fears come and go in the daytime with storms, and in the nighttime with whatever your fears are. They come and go, and Jesus has authority over them. And Satan's work will come and go, and Jesus has authority over them. And sickness will come and go, and yes, Jesus has authority over them. But the root of all those problems, the root of the problem in this world is sin. And Jesus knows that unless he deals with that in our life, none of the other stuff matter. What's the point in calming your storms in life? What's the point in taking away your fear? What's the point in keeping Satan at bay? What's the point in healing sickness if your sins are not forgiven? Because your sins are what stands between you and God. Forgiveness of your sin is what Jesus is really interested in, because it is the root of all of our problems. It is the root of all of our fears. So today, as we think about this, we see all this work of Jesus, we see his power, we see his authority, so we can believe he has the power over sin. So I want you to finish today, actually, by thinking about the words of the demons. Sounds strange to say that, doesn't it? Think about the words of the demons. What do the demons say to Jesus? What do you want with us, Son of God? I want us to ask that question today. Talk to Jesus and ask him, what do you want with me, Son of God? Because what he's telling us is very clear in this passage. I want you to see my power and authority. And I want to have the authority in your life. It's as simple as that. I want to show you my power and my authority, and I want to have power and authority in your life. So let's do this. Let's think about tomorrow. What's happening for you tomorrow? I want to think about your fears tomorrow. What fears are you facing tomorrow? Thinking back to last week, you might think about our worries. Well, worries turn into fear pretty quickly. I remember several years ago being a teacher. It was pretty obvious what your fears are for the next day when you're stepping into a classroom with boys. But what are your fears tomorrow? Do you have fears about work? Do you have fears about relationships? Do you have fears, financial fears? Do you have fears of abuse? What are your fears that you're walking into tomorrow? Jesus says to you, know this, I have authority over those things. Let me have authority over those things in your life. Hand those fears over to me and know that I have authority over them. Second thing, let's think about tomorrow. Where is your heart going to lie? We know who Jesus is, and many of you have made a commitment to follow him. But tomorrow, will your head follow Jesus, but your heart follow your own desires? You will be tempted to sin. Satan prowls around trying to engage us in sinful activity. He doesn't want our hearts to follow God. Jesus says, tomorrow, I want authority over your heart, over your desires, over your strategy for life, your purpose, your direction, the choices you make. Jesus wants authority. He says, you know what? When you give me the authority, I will look after you. I'll take away your fears, and I'll lead you in the right way. Thirdly, and most importantly, tomorrow, what sin will you commit? What sin will you still be holding on to from today, or from last week, or from 10 years ago? And Jesus says to us, and this is the most important thing he wants to teach us out of all of this today, I have authority over sin. That sin that you hold, that sin that corrupts the relationship between you and God, Jesus says, I have authority to deal with that sin. Can you please hand it over to me? Hand over the sin that you're holding on to, whatever it is, and let me deal with it. Jesus died on the cross to deal with that sin, to take it away. The Bible says that God did that all through Jesus to remove our sins as far as the east is from the west, to give us that relationship with God that is right. The question is, why would we want to hold on to our sin? We don't have authority over it. We can't take it away. Jesus can. That's what he did on the cross. And if you're still wondering about that, then just think about this. Think about those stories we've heard today, those events. The power Jesus has, the authority he has in this world. Either he's made it all up or it's all completely true. I think it's very hard to rationalise a middle ground in this. If he does have the authority over nature, over demons and over sickness and even over death, and he claims to have the authority over sin, then it's either all a lie or it's all completely true. If you haven't made a commitment to Jesus, then that's what we need to be thinking about. Who has authority in this world? If you have made a commitment to Jesus, let me encourage you that the struggle is this: to accept that authority each day. To accept that Jesus has the authority over your fear, the authority over your heart, and the authority to cancel your sin every day. It's a struggle. For those who believe, we are the ones of little faith. It is a struggle. Keep struggling and keep being reminded that God, through Jesus, has authority over those things, that he can deal with them and lead you, and you can trust him. Let's pray and just give thanks for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that in your word you encourage us and rebuke us and train us in righteousness, and we see these words, the power of Jesus over these things in this world, and we just thank you, Lord, that you have shown us his power and authority that we might believe. Father, help us most of all to believe his authority over sin in our life, that he can take away, he has the power and the authority to take away that which stands between us and you, that we may live in freedom from that sin. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.